The trial of the 11 suspects charged with the murder of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi opened in the Saudi capital Riyadh on Thursday. Five suspects face the death penalty. The office of the UN's top human rights chief says a trial does not meet the requirements of an independent and international probe requested by the UN. It questioned the fairness of the Saudi trial, saying that it's been calling for an independent investigation with international involvement in the case, but this hasn't happened yet. Turkish officials say Khashoggi was strangled and his body was cut into pieces on October the 2nd by a team of 15 Saudis who were sent to Istanbul for the killing. Saudi Arabia's de facto ruler, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who has been accused by some officials in the West of being behind the killing, won't be on trial. Several U.S. and Turkish officials have said such an operation would not happen without the Crown Prince's approval. In tonight's debate, we'll discuss Jamal Khashoggi's murder case and his trial. Stay with us.
Months have passed since the scandalous murder of the Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the kingdom's consulate building in the Turkish city of Istanbul. The fate of the perpetrators, however, remains unknown. On Friday, the United Nations criticized Saudi Arabia for not allowing an international probe in the case. Spokeswoman for the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Ravina Shamdasani, said the world body is aware of a legal proceeding going on in Saudi Arabia, but it can't assess if justice is truly served.
We, as you know, have been pressing for justice in the Khashoggi case for months now. And we've been calling for an investigation, independent investigation with international involvement. And this has not happened yet.
She said the whole process is insufficient after all.
Now, while we're aware that a trial has taken place in Saudi Arabia, this is not sufficient.
Saudi dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi was killed on October 2nd last year. The way Saudi Arabia handled the premeditated murder brought the kingdom an international disgrace. An assessment by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, concluded that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the killing. Many senior U.S. senators blasted bin Salman over the incident, with some of them seeking his scalp. The approach by U.S. President Donald Trump also caused outcry among the international rights groups. Trump failed to condemn bin Salman, citing Riyadh's economic benefits for the U.S. Meanwhile, Turkey has been a pain in the neck of Saudi Arabia. Turkey was the one which made many of the revelations regarding how the murder took place in the consulate building. Several days ago, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu said his country is working with other countries to carry the probe of the case to the United Nations. Cavusoglu called on Riyadh to share its findings with the international community.
You cannot have an objective or fair trial in Saudi Arabia itself. The Saudi justice system is obviously not independent, and I don't think there could be a fair trial. There's been a long history of judicial abuses in Saudi Arabia.
International rights groups are also critical of Europe, which claims to be an advocate of human rights. European states failed to take a concrete measure against Riyadh, with many of them refusing to terminate their arms sales contracts with the Saudis, indicating that human rights are not a priority for them when their interests are at stake.
Well, on tonight's debate, we've got former British diplomat in Saudi Arabia and editor of Arab Digest, Mr. Oliver Miles, joining us from Oxford, and also author and political analyst Nasir Al-Omari joining us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with our guest in Oxford, Mr. Oliver Miles. Will the Saudi trial tell us the whole truth about how Khashoggi died and who ordered the killing?
It doesn't seem likely. Of course, the trial has only just begun, and the first day's proceedings were procedural. The lawyers have got to have time to work up their cases and so on. So you can't say anything concrete about the trial yet, but no, I don't expect it to take us very far.
Well, let's bring in our guest, Mr. Al-Omari from New York. Mr. Al-Omari, the details of this trial, they're so sketchy. No names of the defendants have been officially released. Details of who's in court isn't being disclosed properly. Are these charges and the authenticity of the court legitimate, in your opinion?
Uh, You know, given what we already know about this case, we now have a lot of evidence to indicate that a crime happened. We saw the other day, Turkey releasing a video showing bags that seem to contain the remains of the late Khashoggi. We have recordings that have been shared with the international community, with intelligence services, with the U.S. We have a United States Senate that has condemned and named the Saudi Crown Prince as the perpetrator of this crime. So the legal aspect of this case has been resolved. We know that a crime happened. We now seem to have evidence of a body that was smuggled into the consulars. House, and what you see in Riyadh is an attempt to execute witnesses. These are security personnel. They can claim that they were given orders and they didn't really want to commit any crimes because these are people who follow orders. So until the international community gets to the person who actually ordered, and that is the real criminal, of course the death squad is responsible, but these are soldiers, these are security people. So we should get to the person who gave that order, and I believe the Saudis are trying to avoid that possibility at any expense.
Mr. Miles, the UN wants an independent investigation with international involvement. How likely is that to happen, given the fact that the Saudis have strong-armed the UN in the past? And, of course, Riyadh's big buddy, the United States, will play its hand as well in the situation.
I don't really expect it to happen. I wonder what the legal basis for such an international investigation could be. I think it would be an unusual, perhaps unique procedure, and I don't suppose Saudi Arabia will agree to it for a moment. I agree with much of what's just been said by my colleague that everybody thinks that the orders must have come from the top. And the top in this case means Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, MBS. But to prove it, or to have it proved in a Saudi court, seems to me to be remote.
Mr. Mari, would you like to add anything to what Mr. Miles just said? If the order has come from the top, then definitely there will not be an international and independent investigation into Khashoggi's death.
You know, I'm not sure that the international community can just claim that this is a Saudi issue and it has been resolved internally. This crime happened in Turkey, and we do not know the extent of the people who have participated in this crime. The Saudis themselves claim that there were local agents. So who are these local agents who helped? These could be Turks. So we need to know the truth so that if there are other people involved, this could be part of a bigger conspiracy. So this crime happened in Turkey. This is not the type of crime that you can turn a blind eye to. This is a journalist, and this is someone who was living in Turkey and who is a resident of the United States. So. Just because the people who are involved in this crime happen to be royals doesn't mean that the world should accept it. I believe that the United Nations has a responsibility to act, and I believe that the United Nations cannot act until the United States makes a political decision. And the political decision is whether they can live with a murderous partner in Saudi Arabia, or whether they want to take action and allow the world to hold him responsible. So I believe Europe and the United States have to decide what they want to do about this. And then I think the United Nations can proceed once they receive a green light from Europe, European governments, and from the United States.
And Mr. Omari, you mentioned Turkey. Let's talk about Ankara. Turkish officials have been insisting that the culprits should be prosecuted under Turkey, under its laws. That's also a demand that Saudi Arabia most likely won't accept at this point.
Yeah, they. You know, we're crossing the line now from the legal. I'm sorry, was that question to me?
Yes, Mr. Omari, continue, and we'll get to Mr. Miles in just a second.
Did you ask me? Yeah. So basically, you know, we are reaching a point now where we have to cross from the legal to the political. So unless Turkey insists, and I believe that the Turkish government will insist on trying the individuals who committed this crime in Turkey. If they continue to insist, I believe that the United States Senate, the incoming House of Representative members, I believe that they will take action, and we will see international justice prevail here. So unless if the United States prevents this from happening, I believe that Turkey can insist, and we can see justice given in this case.
Mr. Miles, would you like to add anything to that? Mr. Omari believes that there is a chance to see international justice in the case of Khashoggi.
Well, I think it's very unlikely, because I think that if we lived in a different sort of world, where there was a world government or where there was some kind of international sovereignty overriding national sovereignty, things would be different. But that is not the case. Of course, Turkey has its position and Saudi Arabia has its position, and no doubt America and Britain and other countries have their positions. But there isn't any procedure that I can see which is going to lead to justice, if by justice we mean a trial of the top leadership in Saudi Arabia. It just isn't going to happen. And that's very regrettable. And we shall have to design our policies and our reactions to that to meet the case. But it's no good saying that somehow international justice will take over, because it won't.
Well, what has to happen, in your opinion, to change the status quo? I think it'd be tough explaining that to the family members of Jamal Khashoggi at this point.
I don't think that there's any hope of any likelihood that sovereign nations, members of the United Nations, will be prepared to give up their sovereignty over criminal investigations of this kind. I think that is such a strong position that you're beating your head against the wall if you think that this will somehow happen in this particular case. The worst that can happen to Saudi Arabia, in my opinion, and I don't think it will happen, but the worst that can happen to them is that they can be treated as an international pariah, that all the states who take a dim view of what's happened to Khashoggi, and we all do, would break off relations with them. But let's be realistic. Saudi Arabia is quite an important country. Saudi Arabia will remain whatever happens, whether under this leadership or any other leadership. Saudi Arabia will continue to be a country with which we have to deal. That's the nature of the world. We can't just say, because of a terrible crime committed, such and such country is going to be blotted out. It's not.
Mr. Omari, Mr. Miles has an opposing view to yours on this issue. Would you like to tell him anything?
Yeah, there is a problem with this assumption. You're assuming that Saudi Arabia, with the current leadership, can go on with business as usual with the West. And there is a huge question about whether Saudi Arabia can be that useful partner that you're referring to. This is a regime, and this is a crown prince who has invaded a neighboring country. This is a regime that has besieged one of the America's allies, which is Qatar. This is a regime that has interfered in all surrounding countries. We know that they have tortured a prime minister, the prime minister of Lebanon. So, you know, hoping that somehow if we let this, and I'm not suggesting that you are proposing that. I'm just saying, if the mindset is, this is a de facto ruler, we need Saudi Arabia, I'm afraid this crown prince will not allow these Western governments to do what they think they will continue on doing, which is, you know, sell him weapons and taking advantage of these contracts. We are talking about someone who defied the logic in politics by killing a journalist. When he is in charge of a whole country, when he's in charge of one of the most important countries in the world, and he didn't have enough sense to know that this will have consequences if the people that he sent would be caught. So I'm afraid this argument is not going to stand for a long time, because with this trial has also shown that this crown prince has no sense of politics. Everybody is condemning this trial. And I'm not sure that the crown prince will wake up tomorrow morning and start to act reasonably. I'm afraid we are dealing with a very dangerous individual who acts on impulse and who will get the United States and Europe and the Saudi allies will get them into a whole lot of trouble if they turn a blind eye to this outrageous crime that he has committed.
We're talking about consequences. Mr. Miles, Mr. Omari believes that this trial itself was also a bad idea. Do you think that there's a possibility that this trial could also backfire, as did the initial explanations that the Saudis presented about the fate of Jamal Khashoggi when he was killed?
Yes, I do think that's quite possible. I think that it will be very difficult for the Saudis to conduct this trial in a way which will appear at all credible. But since they've only just started, as I said at the beginning, it's too early to make an absolute judgment on that. I just take issue with one thing that my colleague has been saying. I agree with most of what he says, but I think he's wrong to point the finger. He repeatedly referred to the West and to Europe. I was referring to the United Nations. There's no particular responsibility resting on Europe in this case that isn't resting on, for example, China or Russia or Iran or anybody else. This is, in the first place, this is a matter for the Saudis and the Turks and for America, because Khashoggi was a resident in the United States. Other nations are only involved insofar as this is a matter of international concern.
Mr. Ryan, you were shaking your head there. What would you like to say in response to Mr. Miles' comments?
Well, you know, the Saudi regime, is a close partner and ally of the United States of America. They have benefited from Saudi Arabia. They have sold the Saudis weapons. The Saudi regime has directed the oil wealth to Western governments. So to say, you know, it's India's responsibility or any other country's responsibility is really not reasonable. We are talking about a regime.
Well, let me just interrupt there to say
country,
that more Saudi oil is sold to India than is sold to America and to China also.
The big customers for Saudi oil these days
are in the Far East.
But this is a regime. That's right. But this is a recent development. The United States and the
yes.
West. Have benefited from this regime. They have protected this regime for strategic reasons. And the Saudis would tell you that their relationship with the United States and European governments, they consider them an ally. They do not consider China, an ally. And therefore, to say that the Europeans and the Americans can sit this one out and somehow wait for India or China to step in is really not reasonable. We look forward to the members of the House of Representatives to take action and to take decisions that will convince Mr. Trump that turning an eye to this murder will not solve the Saudis' problems or the Western governments' problems, who would like to turn an eye and deal with this problem as if it's business as usual. It's not business as usual. This crown prince is a very dangerous man. We have seen evidence that he's dangerous. Torturing al-Hariri, who in his right mind would torture and imprison the prime minister of Lebanon, You tell me if this is someone who is reasonable. Someone who holds so much wealth and so much money and so much power goes after a journalist. If you trust this man to run this country for 50 years, I would be very surprised if you would think that this crown prince can go on with business as usual.
Mr. Miles, on that note, Riyadh just recently presented a cabinet reshuffle where the foreign minister, Adel al-Jubeir, was removed. There are allegations under the surface that Jubeir didn't defend MBS enough on the international stage. So he was removed, meaning that this wasn't a move in the direction of the so-called reforms, but more muscle flexing by the crown prince. Your thoughts on that?
Can I just remind you that I haven't for a moment defended the crown prince. In fact, I began by saying that most people believe that he was responsible for this murder.
Of course. All right, Mr. Omari, your thoughts? More muscle flexing in internal politics by MBS?
Yeah, I think that I think he's trying to tell the West. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, Mr. Miles.
Shall I go on?
I was going to say that I think the logic of what my colleague has been saying is that he would like to see the United States take unilateral action, for example, to break off relations with Saudi Arabia, to cease to sell them arms, to cease to buy their oil and so on. That's fine. That can be done. That's within the international system as we know it. What is not within the international system as we know it is for the United Nations to take over a matter which is within the sovereignty of one particular country.
All right, gentlemen, we're running short of time. I've got one question for you each. I think the main question in all of this is, will the case of Jamal Khashoggi shift the tide in U.S.-Saudi relations, or are the arms sales just too lucrative? Mr. Omari?
I think the incoming House of Representatives is already contemplating action. And investigation into this issue. I doubt that the Senate and the House of Representatives will let this one go. I think that this will somehow be resolved, and it's not going to be to what the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia wishes.
Mr. Miles?
I've been struck by the change of attitude in my own country, in Britain, particularly in Parliament, towards Saudi Arabia. But this is related, I think, rather more to the question of the Yemen war than it is to the question of Khashoggi. And I think that the pressure on the government to cut back, at least, on arms sales to Saudi Arabia will come from concern about Yemen rather than concern about Khashoggi.
All right, that's all the time we have for tonight's program. Allow me to thank my guest, former British diplomat in Saudi Arabia and editor of the Arab Digest, Mr. Oliver Miles, joining us from Oxford. And also special thanks to author and political analyst Nasir Al-Omari joining us from New York. And also thanks to our viewers for watching tonight's debate. And it's good night.